Let's take our Bibles and read together two passages from the New Testament. First, we read from the Gospel of Mark. Mark 10, from verse 13. We read this in connection with Lord's Day 48 of the Catechism. Lord's Day 48 is about the second petition of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come. So we read Mark 10 from verse 13. And they were bringing children to him, that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. We go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation. We read from chapter 12. Revelation 12. The Apostle John writes, "And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death." So far the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord bless it unto our hearts. We now read together from the Confessions of the Church, Lord's Day 48 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 48. That's on page 561 in our Book of Praise. Page 561. Lord's Day 48, what is the second petition? Your kingdom come, that is, so rule us by your word and spirit, that more and more we submit to you. Preserve and increase your church. Destroy the works of the devil, every power that raises itself against you, and every conspiracy against your holy word. Do all this until the fullness of your kingdom comes, wherein you shall be all in all. So far the reading from the Confession of the Church. We now listen to the preaching of the Gospel, and afterwards we'll sing together hymn 63. Hymn 63, stanzas 1 and 3. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, according to the form for baptism of infants, there is an important difference, a difference between Claire Binnendake and her dad and her mum. Because about Claire, we read that she cannot enter the kingdom of God unless she is born again. And that is what Jesus said in John 3, unless a person is born again, he or she cannot see the kingdom of God. So what Claire Binnendake needs is the same as what every other person needs, to be born again, to be grafted into Christ by faith. Without that, nobody can enter the kingdom of God. On the other hand, though, Barry and Marissa already believe the gospel. And so they are already in Christ. They are already, or they have already been, born again. And that means Barry and Marissa are examples for Claire. In their life, they can show Claire what Claire needs to become. But here it becomes interesting, brothers and sisters, because while Claire and Nico and Colton and Paige as well, they all have dad and mum as an example. They need to become what their father and mother already are. But Jesus told his disciples in Mark 10, Jesus said, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And that means, on the one hand, God is using Barry and Marissa as examples for their children. God is using these parents to show their children what the children need to become. But at the same time, God is also using Claire as an example for every member of the Binnendake family. In fact, God is using Claire as an example for us all to show us what we need to become. Claire needs to become like us, but we need to become like Claire. And that means when Barry and Marissa go home this afternoon, they can say to their children, follow Dad's and Mum's example. They can say, we will show you what Christian living looks like. But at the same time, Barry and Marissa can also point to Claire. And they can also use Claire as an example for their other children for how we must all receive the kingdom of God. There is much that Claire needs to learn from mature Christians. But there is also something that every mature Christian must learn from Claire. I preach to you this afternoon the gospel of your salvation under the following theme. Jesus commands us to pray for the coming of his kingdom. We will see how we need God to fulfill this petition in our lives, how we need God to fulfill this petition in the church, and how we need God to fulfill this petition in the world. Jesus commands us to pray for the coming of his kingdom. We will see how we need God to fulfill this petition in our lives, in the church, and in the world. Now, according to the Catechism, your kingdom come means, so rule us by your word and spirit that more and more we submit to you. Notice, more and more. That implies an ongoing process. More and more implies gradual growth. We don't expect that our children will submit to God perfectly and overnight. Instead, we hope and we pray that our children may submit more and more every day. And this is where it gets complicated, brothers and sisters. When Claire grows in her faith, she becomes more like her dad and her mum. But then Barry and Marissa have to reverse the process, and they have to become more and more like their baby daughter. How does it work? Well, to understand how this process more and more is supposed to happen, we begin in Deuteronomy 6, where God said to the Israelites, God said, the Ten Commandments that I gave to you, these words are to be on your heart, and you shall teach them to your children, and you shall talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Just like Canadian parents need to teach their children Canadian law, how to live in Canada. Just like American parents need to teach their children American law, how to live in the States. Parents in the church need to teach their children the law of the kingdom of God. Because nobody can belong to a kingdom. Nobody can be subject to a king without knowing the law. This is where life in the kingdom of God begins. And so, of course, this is also where the prayers of parents must begin. Where we say, Father in heaven, your kingdom come. Father, grant that our children may learn to do what we say. Grant that our children may avoid bad language, that they may obey their parents, that they do not steal or lie or hurt each other. Father in heaven, your kingdom come. So rule over our children that more and more they do what you say. But this is only the beginning, brothers and sisters, because we all know many children obey God's law, even when their hearts are not in it. Parents teach them, and they obey, because otherwise they will be punished. Our children are smart. They learn to go through the motions, to avoid trouble, maybe because they don't want to disappoint their parents, or maybe because everybody else is doing it. Some older children will even make public profession of faith, just going through the motions. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were often going through the motions, and God told them, I hate your sacrifices. I hate your fasting and your feasting. I hate it because your heart is not in it. And so the Apostle Paul explains, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking. The kingdom of God is not a matter of going through the motions, following rituals, but instead, it is a matter of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And this means, as parents, when we pray, your kingdom come, that means, Father in heaven, grant that our children will do more than just go through the motions. Grant that our children may believe the gospel from the heart, that they may taste the grace of your forgiveness, that they may submit to you with willing hearts. Grant that our children grow in faith, and that they grow in the obedience that comes from faith. we pray this, Father in heaven, because we understand that there is a massive difference between outward obedience and obedience that comes from a believing heart. Grant that our children may submit to you with believing and thankful hearts. And then, what happens, beloved congregation? What happens after children learn to serve God from the heart? What happens after children make a conscious choice that they will love God and they want to live Christian lives? What happens? Well, when Jesus was on earth, Jesus chose 12 disciples. And Jesus taught them the gospel. And those 12 disciples, they believed in Jesus. They confessed that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the Son of God. And those disciples, they wanted to belong to God's kingdom. They wanted to serve in God's kingdom. And what else could we ask from our children, brothers and sisters? When our children want to serve God from the heart, surely that makes us thankful. But now, we must go one step further, and we must see how deceitful our hearts truly are, brothers and sisters. When we really, really want to serve God, then we must remember how James and John wanted to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. They wanted to serve, and, oh boy, did they think that they were important? So that on the night when Jesus was betrayed, Jesus went down on his knees, and Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, because the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest. Were those disciples Christians? Of course they were. Did they love God from the heart? Of course they did. But the fact is, beloved congregation, the fact is that your heart and my heart and even the hearts of these disciples, we are all so corrupted by sin that whenever we do anything, our motives are never pure. Our motives are always stained by sinfulness and by selfishness. Sometimes people challenge me on something that I do. Sometimes people ask me, why did you do that? They ask me, did you do that for the glory of God? Or did you do that to make yourself look good? Or to make yourself feel good? And then the honest answer is always, beloved congregation, the honest answer is always that even our best works are all imperfect and defiled with sin. Even our best works are defiled by impure motives of selfishness and pride and self-protection. And for this reason, when we try very hard to please God, when we do our utmost to obey Him and to serve in His kingdom, then God says to us, my dear children, God says to us, take a look at little Claire Binnendake. God says, did you see how little Claire did for me? Did you see how little Claire is doing for me right now? Claire, she does nothing, and she can do nothing. Claire is helpless. She needs her mum and her dad to do everything for her. No, Claire is not an innocent little baby. The Reformed faith has no place for innocent babies, remember? But God saves helpless little babies who have got nothing to offer and who have got nothing to boast about. God accepts children like that and people like that. God accepts such people by grace. And this means when we pray, Father in heaven, your kingdom come, that means, Father, grant that our children might learn first to obey and to do what you say. And then, when our children are a little bit older, grant that they may believe in you and that they may love you from the heart and submit to you from the heart out of thankfulness. But Father, we understand that on the road to spiritual maturity, there is still one more step of the utmost importance. And so we pray, grant that our children may submit to your word more and more. Grant that even when our children are serving you faithfully, even when our children are serving you from the heart, teach them to confess that all their efforts in serving you are no more significant than what Claire Binnendake is doing for you this afternoon. Teach our children to believe that they depend totally on your grace, because we believe, Father, we believe that confessing our unworthiness, confessing our total dependence on you, that is much, much more important than anything that we can ever do for you. Claire Binnendake has to learn from her parents what it means to live as a citizen of the kingdom of God. But we all need to learn from Claire and from Claire's baptism this afternoon. We all need to learn that a Christian life is about confessing dependence on God. We all need to learn from Claire that the climax of a life of faith is our confession that we depend totally on Him. That is our first point. In our second point, we will now consider how we need God to make His kingdom come in the church. There is a connection between the kingdom of God and the church. I'm not saying that the church is the kingdom of God, but the two are connected. After all, how much do the people of the world care about God or about God's law? God says, "Do not take my name in vain," but the world demands freedom of expression. God says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." But the world says, "We do as we please, whenever we please." God says, "Do not murder." But the world says, "Unborn children, sick people, elderly people, what does it matter if they live or if they die?" In the world, God's laws are pushed aside. But in the church, God's law is proclaimed every Sunday again. In fact, the church does more than proclaim God's law and enforce God's law. Instead, in the church we also distribute the gifts of our King. Through the preaching of the gospel, God gives us faith and God forgives our sins. And at the end of every worship service, God gives us His blessing. According to Article 27 of our confession, if there would be no church, there would be no kingdom of God either. And so in the church we get to hear the law of God's kingdom. And in the church we have elders who make home visits. And the king who has authority over the church, he uses the elders to exercise his authority and to discipline those who rebel against him. And so it is right that in church we pray, Father in heaven, your kingdom come. That means, dear Father, bless the elders when they make visits. Give the elders wisdom to judge what is right and what is wrong, and to discipline those who obey your law. But, beloved congregation, there is a difference. There is an important difference between an ordinary kingdom and the kingdom of God. In an ordinary kingdom, the king says, obey me or else. In an ordinary kingdom, the king says, this is my law. Do what I say, or I will punish you. But when God comes to us, he says, I am the Lord your God. I am the king. But I am the king who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Our king says to us, my children, I love you, and through my son Jesus Christ, I have given you everything that you need. I have saved you from your sins. I have given you eternal life with every blessing, and I will give you everything that you need by grace alone. Now, says the king, now respond to my love. Now love me and serve me in return. Our king does not come to us with a raised fist or with a wagging finger of admonition. Instead, like a lover takes his beloved into the desert, he removes every distraction and he speaks to her of his love. He reminds her of what he has done for her in the past. He promises to provide for her a wonderful future. So our king comes to us with the gospel, and he invites us to belong to him and to share in his blessing. And even when we are unfaithful, even when we go our own way, God does not slam the door in our faces. God does not tear up our wedding contract. Instead, God has made with us an everlasting covenant. And as long as we are alive, the invitation continues to stand. And so we must pray, brothers and sisters. We must pray, Father in heaven, your kingdom come. That means give to our minister what he needs to preach the gospel in such a way that our hearts and our minds may be inclined to submit to you. And if the minister is discouraged or frustrated because he thinks that we are not listening to him, if his preaching becomes demanding, or if the preaching focuses on us and on our lives, on our responsibilities, instead of on the gospel of Jesus Christ, if that happens, Father, then give the elders discernment that they may correct the minister, because we believe, Father, we believe that the gospel is a fount of living water. The gospel is heavenly bread. It gives life. And that gospel, when it is preached faithfully, it will change us. It will make us worship the King. It will make us obey him from the heart. Preserve and increase your church, Father in heaven. Use the pure preaching of the gospel to make that happen. And of course, when we pray for God to preserve and increase his church, that prayer includes more than just preaching. Instead, it is also a prayer for the elders when they make their home visits and go to meetings. It is also a prayer for deacons that they may be compassionate and sensitive while they build together the communion of saints. And so we pray, Father in heaven, your kingdom come. That means bless consistory. and bless council. Bless those who make music in the church. Bless the committees. Bless all the work that is done in our church community, that it may serve, to focus our hearts and our lives on your Son, Jesus Christ. This is how we need God to make his kingdom come in the church. This is what we need to pray for. In our third point, we will now see very briefly how we need God to fulfill the second petition in the world. Of course, the Lord has always been king over the whole earth. Think about the flood in the time of Noah. God did not have to answer to anyone when he destroyed the world. God also destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and Nineveh. The people living in those places did not belong to the church. Many of them had no relationship with God, but he was their king. He exercised authority over them. Just like when God brought the Israelites to Canaan, the other nations living in Canaan, God destroyed them. The Lord is king. And since God is king, your kingdom come cannot mean that we want God to become king. Instead, we want him to take control in China, in other Muslim countries. The Christian religion is officially forbidden. In other countries where Christianity is tolerated, the rights of homosexuals, the rights of people to kill their unborn children, the rights to abuse the name of God, all these rights are vigorously defended. And then the catechism says, when we pray, your kingdom come, that means destroy the works of the devil. Destroy every power that raises itself against you. Destroy every conspiracy against your holy word. So, your kingdom come, that means, dear Father, put an end to all that ungodly behavior. But one more little point, brothers and sisters. God destroys the work of the devil. God destroys every power that raises itself against him. But how? How does God do that? We learn that from Revelation 12. In Revelation 12, we read about a woman giving birth to a child. That's about Jesus being born. And that child Jesus being caught up to heaven, to his throne in heaven, that is Ascension Day. Then Satan is defeated. Satan comes down to earth to persecute the Christian church. And then it is not God who destroys the work of the devil. It is not God who destroys every power that raises itself against him and against his church. Instead, Revelation 12 says, they, that is the Christians, they have conquered Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The kingdom of God comes, and Satan is defeated when Christians hold on to the blood of Jesus Christ, when we believe in Jesus, and when we speak of Jesus, when we dare to do this even when it might cost us our friends or our jobs or even our lives, when we dare to believe in Jesus, when we dare to speak openly about our faith in him, when we do that, then we overcome the world. Then we conquer Satan. And in this way, the kingdom of God comes. And so we must pray, brothers and sisters. We must pray, Father in heaven, we see the world raising itself against you, hostile towards you and towards your word. And then, Father, we don't always know what to do. Sometimes we just want to avoid the world. We want to hide in a dark corner and wait for you to fix everything. Sometimes we get tired of fighting, tired of being different, and we just want to take the easy way out. We just want to go with the flow. Sometimes we try to find friends in the world. We hope that they will help us to survive, to make our lives easier. Sometimes we become angry at the world. We shake our fist at them. We rant and rave at them about judgment and hell. But grant, Father, that we may hold on to the blood of Jesus. Grant that we may believe in Jesus every day and every circumstance. Grant that we may hold on to his promise, that we may dare to speak his word. Because we believe, Father, we believe that your word is powerful. We believe that the word of promise, which once saved us, is powerful to save others also. Your word is so powerful that it can and it will destroy all our enemies. And by the power of your word, your kingdom will come. And so, we also pray, Father, we pray for all parents in this church. Grant that all these parents may teach all their children that your word is the most useful weapon that we have in our battle against sin and Satan, the most powerful weapon. So grant, Father in heaven, that we may teach our children to know and to love and to rely on your word always. And so may your kingdom come quickly, Father. So give us eternal life. Give us eternal blessing, eternal joy, where we will be with you forever. Amen.